Welcome to Relationships Reclaimed,
where we talk about anything and everything relationship related with Ariane
and Vicky.
Okay, here we are. Another day, another episode.
Another relationship.
Oh, yes. That was good. That was a good segue. So listeners, today we're going to talk about, I love this relationship. We're going to talk about relationship with compassion and empathy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. And I love that we're using compassion and empathy rather than empathy and sympathy.
Well, they're so different.
They are. And so I like that we're keeping the compassion and empathy together.
Yeah.
Because often you hear that team, right, of sympathy and empathy. What's the difference? How does it influence you? And
Interesting that you say that, because I don't feel like I don't hear sympathy very much anymore, actually.
No, it used to be more so than it is now.
I wonder what's changed.
I think it's more of the awareness of the difference between empathy and sympathy. Because a lot of people, I think, misused sympathy as empathy, and maybe vice versa.
Yeah. So should we give it a difference? Do you want to share like what you...
Sure, might as well.
And then we'll go into because now we're not going to talk about sympathy. And now here we go.
And here we go. Because it is kind of a part, I think, of empathy, in the sense that, it's, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. What's the definition? You look up the definition of sympathy. You already have it.
Okay. Feelings of pity and sorrow for someone else's misfortune.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty much it. They had great sympathy for the flood victims, was an example, right? Yeah. Whereas
it's like feeling sorry for.
Yeah.
It's not like you can relate. So I think empathy is more you can relate
to
that person, and you can feel into their experience, right? That you're with them. There's this, the mirror neurons, if you want to go kind of more technical, the mirror neurons are responding, right?
Like you
can be in their shoes, is basically what it is.
Yeah, because the definition of empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another.
Yeah.
Right?
Whereas sympathy, there's like a wall, right?
Yeah, it's a disconnect. Like,
I'm really, that sucks that you're going through that, but I have no connection or no feelings towards you. Just, I'm really I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
And it's almost a demeaning.
Yeah. Like there's something there. Like I don't ever want someone to feel sympathy or pity me. Mm-hmm. Right. So I never knew the difference between these two. I know, listeners, you're like, why are you talking about sympathy? You said you weren't going to. But I think this is so important. And I've showed this to a lot of my coaching clients and used it in a lot of my workshops so this video, when I was in therapy, my therapist clearly knew that I didn't know the difference between empathy and sympathy. And so she showed me a video. It's Brené Brown's video of, it's like that cartoon animation.
The animals,
empathy versus sympathy. And sympathy is like saying like, well, you lost your baby. Well, at least you can get pregnant.
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like that piece. Whereas empathy is like, I see that cloud there with you. Can I sit with you?
Yeah.
Can I be here with you?
The visual of it too, where it was like, there was I think it was a bear and an animal, and it was in a hole, and there was another animal on top looking in and going, hey, I'm sorry that you're down there.
Right.
Something like that. And then there was another animal that actually crawled down and was sitting in the dark with the bear.
Yeah.
And so it was like, sympathy is the one that's looking down the hall at the hole and going, oh, sucks to be you.
Yeah.
And then the other one is there beside the person.
And when I watched that video, I was gobsmacked, because I was like, shit, I haven't been doing it right. I honestly, it was a moment for me. I was like, oh man, like I actually do that to people. Like that was a really hard moment for me, but a great awareness for me. And I've had to learn empathy. It was not something that came natural to me. And I'm not sure why, really. Maybe because I didn't get it. I never.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That given your experience in your childhood, mm-hmm. that perhaps there was this lack of understanding or knowing because you never received that someone sitting there in the dark with you.
No, I guess that's it, right? I never experienced that. It was always, it was very different. I have a very different experience with it. So I really had to learn it. And now I love empathy. Like I absolutely just feel so blessed that I can experience it and be with someone and have someone be with me, which is I think it's a gift. We all have the ability to do it, but I don't think many people actually do it.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So how do you know the difference when somebody is with you empathetically and not?
I feel it, first of all. And I guess I feel it because of how they respond to me. Because if someone says, I'm trying to think of an example. Oh, so I'm a runner, right? We've talked about this numerous times. And I've had to go for x-rays and all this stuff. And a while ago, I went for an x-ray a couple weeks ago and I was just waiting for the results. And I had mentioned to someone, one of my friends, that I was going for x-rays because my shin has been really sore. It's still hurting me. And his response was, you know, cause he mountain bikes and he wants me to mountain bike. And he's like, well, we'll get you on a mountain bike and you'll never look back at running again. And I was like, no. That's not what and so that landed heavy on me because I was like, no, you're not meeting me here. Like, don't you understand? I am gutted by this possibility that I might not be able to run. And so I felt that land heavy on me. So for me, it's always a felt sense and it's based on how the person responds to me. Mm-hmm. Right. Or if someone says, oh, well, you know, just take 6 weeks off and at least you'll get a rest or. But I want someone to be like, so I actually messaged
the least.
Oh God. Anytime someone says at least, right. I mean, everyone knows that that's a trigger of mine.
Yeah.
I've learned the at least words don't even need to be in there and the meaning can be the same.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
So someone can totally go in it at a sideways angle. And I'm like, oh, that still was a moment of at least you could have just switched the words.
Yeah.
You know, and yesterday I messaged my friend Jen, who I run with, and told her the results of my bone scan, and I said, like her response was "fuck," okay. and I just said to her, "I have no words," and she goes, "You don't have to," and I was like, "Thank you for seeing me."
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, thank you so much. Like I felt really held there and that it was okay to actually have no words and be upset. Right. That felt like empathy.
And that's it, right? Empathy. You don't have to say anything, for empathy to be present.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's, you can just be sitting there. You can just be on the other end of the phone.
Yeah.
Somebody,
literally
right?
just sitting.
Without a word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it is felt. I think that empathy is more so than, of course, sympathy is a felt sense, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, folks. So there is definitely that difference of knowing when you're feeling empathy.
Yeah.
And when you're not. How about when you're giving empathy? So when you were aware of this thing called empathy, and you were exploring and worked on it. How did you know when you weren't being empathetic and when you were?
Because I couldn't feel it.
Again, back to the felt.
And that's just my experience because I'm a very felt sense person. I feel things deeply, but that's how I experience it is I don't feel it, right? I can feel shut down. I can feel my anxiety. I can feel the need to want to fix. Because of my anxiety. And then I notice that. And then I have to pull myself back. It's like I zoom out and then I'm like, okay, imagine what they're going through. Have you felt like this before? or how can I hold their heart? Or I just think about that, right? Like, and then I land into empathy and I can walk alongside them.
Right. Yeah. Do you feel like with empathy, I'm going to go back actually to sympathy as well, because yeah. I get the sense that sympathy has a lot of judgment attached to it. Whereas I don't think empathy has judgment.
I don't think empathy can have judgment.
No.
If you are in that place of feeling empathetic towards someone else or yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a big one too. I don't think that judgment would be there, because it just doesn't, it can't. You can't have the same, right. both at the same time. I know we talk often about holding two at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I don't think those can.
I'm trying to think about, okay, so let me, maybe. Okay, hold on. I can judge myself for something, but then have empathy for the place inside of me that is judging myself, or maybe compassion. Right. Yeah.
Right. But they're not, they can coexist,
but they're not
tied together. They're not
linked
together.
They're not. No, yeah. I cannot judge you and have empathy at the same time.
No.
No, I don't think so either.
No. You might, the only thing that I'm thinking that might be there is I can have empathy for you and judgment on myself at the same time.
Right.
Perhaps. I don't know. I was just, that was kind of a thought that I was having, that, you know, judging myself, am I truly being here for this person? Right. And having those stories, telling those stories and judgments about myself.
Right.
But I don't know.
I don't think so.
When I'm in it, it'll be maybe afterwards.
Yeah.
But while I'm in that moment being with somebody, there's not that judgment. But I have felt it where afterwards, there's this judgment of, oh, did I truly see them? I felt them. Did they feel me there with them?
Oh, right? Interesting.
And some of the judgments and my default and my patterns,
mm-hmm.
exactly that in a lot of cases, right? When I'm in connection with others.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's when it can happen. But in the present
mm-hmm.
moment.
Yeah. So I don't think so too.
Makes me also think of, so my relationship with empathy, it's never been a hard thing for me, to be empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, this brings me to being overly empathetic to the point where, I would sacrifice myself, because unknowingly, because of the empathy that I felt for others. So I would actually take on what was going on for other people really, really easily. And so it really weighed me down.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think empathy is a beautiful thing. And, you know, where are the boundaries, right? So I had to really start to look at, what are my boundaries with empathy? How can I show up and be empathetic with someone without taking it on for myself, which as therapists can be a really, really hard thing.
Yeah.
It could be hard for anybody, but
in a profession like ours, it is, we have to be pretty diligent at like walking a line there. Exactly. How can we have empathy, hold the person who's in front of us, right? Hold their story, hold their heart, and not take it on.
Exactly.
That's very hard.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
And that's why we get, probably higher than a lot of professions, burnout and vicarious or compassionate fatigue.
Compassion fatigue, burnout, vicarious trauma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all of that stuff, right? And so I think it's really good that we're talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even beyond our profession, but to the general public, where we live right now in a time that there is a lot of trauma and a lot of stress and a lot of, you know, everyone's struggling, right?
Yeah.
And so you show up and, you know, sometimes we aren't there for others because we feel like, oh, well, I don't have the capacity, right, to be mm-hmm. there. But with empathy, it's such an interesting thing because you can both be struggling.
Yeah.
And show up empathetically for each other and, and find compassion for each other. Like there's no fixing, there's no work that needs to be done mm-hmm. with empathy.
Right. Yeah. It's easy. It does. It has an ease to it if you're not taking it on.
Exactly.
Right.
And allowing yourself to show up fully.
Yeah.
Where you're at as well.
Right. Not as a therapist, mm-hmm. but as just I'm going to say a regular human. I don't even know what, because therapists aren't, but as like in my everyday life with my friends, family, myself. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we should call this one, relationship with empathy, compassion, and a little bit of sympathy.
Yeah. And regrettably sympathy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's good to like that we talked about that and if it still comes up, right? So
So compassion.
Yeah.
Do you want to say the definition for
compassion? Yeah, so I don't like this. This comes from the Oxford Dictionary, right? So that's what there's got to be a different, but I'm going to give you what comes up as soon as I Googled it. Compassion. You ready?
Yep.
Sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortune of others.
What?
Right.
So hello. That sounds like sympathy.
It does. Oxford, you need to change your definition of this. What would you think is, oh, so interesting. Some of these definitions. What would you say is the definition, your definition of compassion?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say compassion is a felt sense, I think, of, let me see if I can get my words together. So having, care and fully loving another human being, no matter where they are.
Right.
Like no matter what their experience is. And showering them love, I guess, or mm-hmm. just having a really, I think love is really important within compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this love for the person that you're having compassion for, whether that's yourself or another human being.
Right.
Whether you know them or not, there's just a deep core of love and wanting care for them, right? Like their care kind of goes in there too.
Mm. Right.
I don't know. It's kind of a jumbled, I haven't really thought about what
I think it's a hard one to define, actually, because everything that's I'm seeing is it talks about sympathy and pity. But there's this one for Wikipedia. It says it's like the precursor to empathy.
I like that.
Yeah. But the other stuff. No, for me, compassion, it's a hard one to define.
I think because it's such a felt sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just because we're feely people.
Yeah.
So maybe our listeners can enlighten us a little bit on, right. You know, if they experience it the same way. But it's just this like really not overwhelming, but intense emotion.
You know what comes up for me with compassion? The word grace is always connected to it for me. Mm. So it's almost like giving myself some leeway to be human.
Right.
Right. It's like giving myself some space to be okay in my messiness and my mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think compassion, there's this element, especially compassion for yourself, is almost like the surrendering?
Yeah, because there's a part of me that also almost wants to add in the word forgiveness, which I'm not sure really lands completely, but something like that. So surrendering would be a good word. Yeah. It's interesting though, because I have also had to work on this relationship quite a lot, because I think I was in sympathy all the time. Right. And because I don't think that I experienced compassion at all growing up, like any. And so for me, it was a very foreign thing, but it's really interesting because I can think of two people that I know who are so empathetic, but lack so much compassion.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So how do you know that? Like what?
Well, one of them actually, we were having this conversation and she said, what is a word that you would describe? And I said, oh gosh, like your compassion. She goes, really? And I was like, yeah. And then we started talking. I was like, actually, no, you have empathy. She's like, yeah, I think so too. And she goes, I don't think I have compassion. I said, I don't think you do either.
Hmm.
So, cause there's a lot of judgment. She holds a lot of judgment on people. She has high expectations of them and of herself, but she has such a heart that when someone else is hurting, she is hurting.
Right. I love how you, that part with judgment.
Yeah.
Because again, similar to empathy, I don't think if you have compassion with someone, you can have judgment.
Right.
Like compassion is this acceptance, I think.
Yeah.
I think acceptance.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. We need to write to the internet.
Gods.
Internet gods. We need to revamp this explanation.
Yeah. I think too, with compassion, there's like this sense of being seen or seeing.
Mm. Say more about that.
So like when I've felt compassion come my way, I have felt seen for who I am, fully.
Yeah.
Whether, like you were saying, like whether you're messy, whether you're, you know, in distress, whether you're, sad, no matter where I am, whether I'm happy, I don't know. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just when I've felt it, it's like, oh, okay. You see me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
And you feel me. I think that's another one.
Yeah. But I also think it's that piece again of meeting you.
Yeah.
Right. Because I'm trying to think of like, I'm thinking of this other person who I'm like, oh, I don't think she has compassion, but she has like empathy in like spades. Because when I'm going through a hard time, this person is not able to hold that space for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
But she can have empathy and I can see how she has that for other people and for me too.
Mm.
But does that make sense?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I think, empathy, you can, if you're being empathetic, you can hold space.
Yeah.
But it's a different kind of space than a compassionate, holding space.
Yeah. It is really interesting. I didn't think that this would be so complex to talk about.
Yeah.
I was like, we're not going to have anything to talk about because it's just like super awesome and easy. And, but compassion really is, it's really throwing a curveball at me. And I do want to say,
too.
Yeah, when my marriage ended, what I did for myself is I set a goal because I was like, I don't want to turn angry and I don't want to turn bitter. And what I want is to be okay with who I am at the end of the day and how I show up for me, not for him, not for anyone else, but for me. And by him, obviously I'm saying my ex-husband.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I need to move through this with as much grace and compassion as I can for myself. And I have to tell you, that was the best thing I ever did for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I constantly kept coming back to that. Every time I found myself going into a direction of someone I didn't want to be, I was like, I have to remember my goal, and it would rein me in of grace and compassion.
So what did that look like for you? Like when you, like, was it just a reminding you of that statement, or was it an actual action that you took?
I think it was both. It was remembering what my goal was constantly, right? Like, cause I mean, let's be honest, like divorces can be really ugly and messy and it is very painful. And that was my experience. It was very messy in some ways and very painful. And I was in such grief. And when we go to those dark places, they can actually be masked with a whole lot of anger, retaliation. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be that because I knew
resentment.
I knew I could do it. I was like, I know I can be a total bitch, right?
Yeah.
I know it. He knows it. He probably expects this from me. I'm not going to do it because I don't want it to be who I am here.
Right.
I knew that who I was in the marriage wasn't working and I didn't like that version of myself. So I might as well start to make that change now. And I have to do it towards myself.
Right.
And so that's when I was like, grace and compassion. And I remember I said to myself, at the end of the day, I have to look at myself in the mirror. I want to know that I went through this with as much authenticity and grace and compassion for me.
Yeah.
I don't care what he does. He gets to deal with himself. I have to live with me, right? I know Vicky's clapping because that was huge for me. Huge.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I remember us having an argument over something and it was just going in the cycle, which is what arguments do. We weren't getting anywhere. It felt terrible. I felt terrible. And I had to stop in the middle of the argument and I was like, hey, what do I want? What do I want here? I have to remember that I want grace and compassion for myself. And that's the heart.
Yeah.
And as soon as I thought that, I actually dropped into my heart and spoke from my heart versus the anger and the pissed offness and the attack that I was getting from him. Right. And I was attacking him too. We were both doing it. And so I dropped into my heart and I can't remember what I said, but it changed the whole conversation. We both dropped. We both started crying. We ended up on the sofa holding each other and crying, knowing that we were.
How often did that happen?
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And we were separating. We were already separated. We were divorcing. And that's what showed up in that moment.
Wow.
Because I held this goal of what I wanted to experience of myself and towards myself. Because I knew that if that conversation ended the way I thought it was going to, the way it was, I would be really upset at myself.
Yeah.
Right. And him. And I was like, I'm sick of holding that for us. I'm tired of that.
I also love the fact that, because I think this is correct to say, so correct me if I'm wrong, but, your ability to love yourself and have compassion for yourself has been a difficult thing, right?
So difficult.
And so the fact that you took that risk and said, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. This is what's going to help me is to have this grace and this compassion. And look where it brought you. Like what a beautiful example of what happens when we can step into what feels scary.
Yeah.
And come out with the thing that we wanted most.
Right.
Like that love and that compassion and that ease. And sometimes connection.
Oh,
I imagine that you felt connected with him at that moment.
Absolutely. And it was probably the first time it's probably why we got divorced, because we weren't feeling connected to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Or a huge reason for that. So absolutely. And now I have that relationship of grace, compassion, and empathy for myself. Because I think if I can't give it to myself, how can I give it to anyone else?
Yes.
You know?
And I imagine it goes up and down. Like I know for myself, compassion and love and empathy, it's been a really long road, really long journey, and continues to be a journey for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come quite far along that path. I very easily give it to other people. Easily.
Right.
And there are days that I feel it's easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other days that it's just like, I judge the heck out of myself.
Right.
And, you know, I hate myself.
Yeah.
And I have terrible thoughts about who I am and how I show up in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, finding compassion and empathy for being in those places.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the journey.
Like, oh,
we're not going to always be compassionate, and we're not always going to be empathetic.
No.
Right. We're going to have those flashes of humanness that comes in that are like, I'm fucking pissed off at you right now.
Yes.
Right. That's not empathetic.
Right? No.
And they're real.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can reflect on that later and hold space and have compassion, empathy for that moment. Like, cause yeah. Like what you said, right? I think that's really big. And I hope our listeners really get this, is that we are going to be messy still. It's not, I have compassion. I'm empathetic. So I'm going to have it 100% of the time. No, let that expectation go, because if that's your expectation, you are going to fail. And then you're going to be in a cycle of that. And so what I've learned, like what you have just suggested was for myself, is can I have compassion for the messy parts? That was a big thing for me. Like, that was a really hard place for me to experience as well, because very similar.
Has it been okay to be in messy in the past?
No, because the expectation of me and my family system is that we show up perfectly. We are not allowed to make mistakes. We are not allowed to quit. We are not allowed to be messy. We show up perfect.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me to have judgment on someone else, like I would judge myself and I'd be like, oh, I'm a shit person. I think I should just die. Like, I would go dark and deep. And now I'm like, oh, sweetie, that was a hard time.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay that you felt that way. And really, like, no, you're good. You're okay. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's so different. I have such a different relationship now with all of this.
Yeah. I find too, some of the exercises, I'm sure I've done this in the past, where when I am feeling those moments of compassion for myself and love and all that kind of stuff, writing it down, and just as a reminder for when I am judging myself, I can go back and say, oh, right. Okay. I am human.
Yeah.
Remember, I can feel love and compassion for myself.
Yeah.
It's okay that I'm here, you know, and it's just kind of that reminder.
Beautiful.
And it actually has helped me find agency for myself, right? Or agency. But really being able to stand a little bit more solid in who I am.
Yeah.
When I can just, again, back to accept that I'm not always going to have that love and compassion and empathy for myself. And it's never not going to return.
Right.
It's a double negative.
It's temporary. Right? Just everything, just like everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just this ebb and flow of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly.
And I think that, like you said, something about that solid self is that the more that we can experience compassion and empathy, it's like the more it gets stacked inside of us, right? Mm-hmm. And the more resourced we are to experience it.
Right.
And I just love that. Yeah. And that is one of the biggest pieces I work on with my clients, is because they also seem to not have that experience for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
Right. Cause the biggest piece I think that the women, especially for my coaching, is they want they're lacking self-love.
Yes. And I always love to bring up too with others, cause it was a good lesson for myself as well, that, getting into the experience of what it feels like to show empathy and compassion for another person and really take in what that experience feels like for you. And then imagine giving that to yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Like how good that would feel, giving it to ourselves as well.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes, like, I've had to go really slow and we really just kind of explore, you know, what does it feel like to give someone, be empathetic with someone and compassionate with someone? What is that experience for you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we can start, you know, circling back to how do we implement that same kind of experience directed towards
yourself. Yeah. And I do also want to say that if you know, like you're having an, if our listeners, anyone listening is having an experience where they don't have great, like compassion or empathy for themselves, or they don't know how to experience it towards others, that's okay. It's a learning process because maybe, maybe have an understanding that it wasn't shown to you.
Yeah.
Right. And so how can you actually hold yourself with a little bit of love there and an understanding, you know, because I imagine if you haven't had it and you're listening to this, there might be some judgment going on for yourself, or maybe you're wanting to like throat punch both of us because we're triggering you, which is okay too.
Exactly.
Right.
Cause everyone has a past.
Right? Yeah.
And the experiences that we hold there, really contribute and impact the way we show up. And so you probably have good reason. If you're not feeling empathy and compassion towards yourself or others, likely there's a good reason for that.
Yeah.
And I just want to note too, you know, you, Ariane, you had shared about just feeling where you can find love for yourself in that moment, even if it was like an itty bit.
Like 2%.
Exactly. And that is okay, that it will build up, right?
Yeah.
That you will start getting into a practice of, oh, actually today I feel like I'm 2% empathetic towards myself or compassionate towards myself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm like 10% now towards my best friend. I'm feeling really compassionate with her. Right. And so it will build, and sometimes it might drop a little bit, like I said, right? Like nothing's constant in life. So I just wanted to note that might be something to give a try, to experiment
with.
Yeah,
I like that.
Right?
Yeah, it's good. I'm so glad we decided to talk about this.
Excuse me. I just burped.
Are you agreeing with me?
I am. I am too. Like, I didn't realize, like, I just felt like compassion and empathy was just something that was, right? Like it, but
yeah,
it revealed to be more complex than both of us had thought. So I'm really glad that we dove in here.
Me too. Compassion, empathy, and a little sympathy.
Yeah.
That was our podcast. Episode today.
I just wanted to say, because I think sympathy comes in, because when I think about sympathy, I do that with myself sometimes, right? Like I have my little pity parties. I feel sorry for myself, right?
I don't think there's anything
and
wrong with
that.
And
that's okay too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just wanted to note that sometimes we're allowed to actually have a pity party and whine and complain about something, right? Get it out, get it off our chest.
Can you have empathy for that part of you that needs the sympathy?
Yes. Beautiful connection there.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. We all need a pity party. Seriously. I had one yesterday. It was good. I needed it.
Yeah. So go out and have a pity party if you feel like that's what you need.
Yeah. And have some empathy for yourself there.
Yeah.
And compassion. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, listeners. Thanks again for sticking with us and hanging out and sending you all a lot of love. Hoping you're doing well and so stay well, stay safe. Until next time.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Relationships Reclaimed. You can reach myself, Vicki Wilburn, on my website, masterpiececounseling.com,
This is Ariane, and you can find me at ariannemoore.com, on Instagram at Ariane Moore Life Coach, and you can request to join the Tribe of Empowered Goddesses on Facebook.